Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. I'm reading Basic Economics by Thomas Sowell, and in the first chapter of the book, he defines economics as the study of the use of scarce resources which have alternative uses. So wood is considered a scarce resource even though it's abundant. Even if we ran out of trees, we could plant more. But to certain areas or certain peoples, there's only so much wood to go around until the next truck delivers more. So in the meantime, people have to make choices about how they're going to use the wood. How much wood go to making pencils, and how much should go to making furniture? How much should go to making tobacco pipes? These are choices that are made by the market. So the more demand there is for pencils, the more wood the pencil company buys, which in turn means the furniture company or the pipe company doesn't get as much wood because there isn't as much of a demand for their product. So there are many uses for wood, and you can only allocate so much to one thing over another. I began a thought experiment. I started thinking of everything as a scarce resource to see what I could learn about how I make those types of decisions. So bacon, for example. Everyone loves bacon, so that's a perfect example. How much bacon do I eat with eggs? How much do I put on hamburgers? And how much do I put on a peanut butter and banana sandwich, which is called an Elvis special, by the way. The way I use the bacon tells me what type of meal I most valued, and therefore I allocated the bacon to that meal instead of another. Journal pages are another great example. What do I use the pages in my journal for? Well, on Sunday, I take notes on the sermon at church, and I might write a journal entry in the evening, but on any other given day, I might write a song or a poem, maybe jot down some ideas for the podcast. I could write a regular old journal entry, or I might even make a pros and cons list. There are a lot of ways I can use my limited number of journal pages, and the way I choose to use them shows what I value them for most. What I realized in this thought experiment is that time is our most scarce resource. Every person has a limited amount of it. Some have as little as a few minutes, some have more than 100 years, but we all have a limited amount. We all have choices to make about how we're going to allocate the scarce resource of time. Some of those decisions are going to be very easy, and some are going to be very hard. How do we think economically about the time we have on Earth? Like any other resource, there's some to go around, but you have to decide which uses to allocate the most toward. It's not good enough to make all of the right health choices and be fortuitous enough not to have any fatal illness or disease or a freak accident, all in the name of being on Earth for 90 years or more. As if no matter what happens, 90 years of life is the main goal. We all know how you spend those 90 years is more important. The quantity of time is secondary to the quality of that time. As Christians, we have the market cornered on this type of thinking because we realize that not only does the quantity of time matter, but the quality of that time matters in an eternal sense as well as in the here and now. Death is a negative thing, so negative in fact that God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross in order to break the power of death, which was sin. We sometimes like to think of death as a transition into something better, but we shouldn't forget the tragic nature of someone dying. I think in that way we do have an obligation to maximize the quantity of life we have to live, but we likewise need to concern ourselves with the quality of that time. To be clear, most people believe that the quality of our time matters. Even nihilists who would say it doesn't matter, they still act as if it does. But does it matter ultimately, eternally? Yes and no. People tend to spend their time on things that they think will outlive them. You raise kids, you record music, you write a book. I think a lot of people spend their scarce resource of time doing things that will outlast the small quantity of time that they have, therefore maximizing the quality of their time. People do this because it makes them feel like the quality of the time they spend will transcend the harsh reality that the quantity of that time is too short. It's not wrong in and of itself to do things that will outlast you, but I hope that some things I do in this life will outlast me. I don't think I'm going to get anything out of it if people are still listening to this podcast 100 years from now, but I hope it's valuable and someone else gets value from it in the future. So if it did persist that long, I would feel good about that, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that. The tricky thing is that our obsession on quality of time transcending quantity of time can lessen the quality of our time. Our obsession with getting the most value out of our time can lessen the value of it. By spending your whole life trying to create something that will outlive you, you'll oftentimes not enjoy the life you had. There's no shortage of musicians or actors who made that exact mistake. They spent their whole lives doing whatever it would take to be famous and to be remembered, and this path led to suicide or overdose or a murder because they got involved with the wrong people in order to further their career. When I say our actions here and the way we spend our time matters, I don't mean that God is keeping score in the heavens and if we don't spend enough of our time doing charity, we'll pay for it in the afterlife. What I mean is, for Christians who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and our lives are no longer our own, we have certain obligations to Christ and his kingdom. Our eternal destiny isn't weighing on these obligations, but it matters nonetheless. It matters because there is no higher quality of time to be spent than time spent worshiping God or showing love to the other members of his church or learning about him. Our ultimate enjoyment will be in those things. Besides, our time doesn't belong to us. We had our own time, which was rapidly counting down to zero, and would have ended with an eternity in hell if God hadn't interceded for us. He not only gave us transcendent meaning to the rest of our time here on earth, but we will have an eternity in him to follow. We don't do good works out of obligation or just for the sake of doing good works either. We can do good works because they were prepared beforehand by God, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us. That adds an eternal weight to the way we spend our time. I said earlier that Christians have the market cornered on this type of thinking, and one of the reasons for that is that Christianity is true. While all people ascribe some value to the way they use their scarce time in this life, Christians have the benefit of an objective and true value. Most often, people ascribe worth to their children and creative projects because the prospect of those things outliving them is possibly the only hope of eternal life they have, which is just an idea or a glimpse of the eternal hope we have as Christians. We don't have to rely on our pursuits in this life to be our legacy and our eternal life because God is building his kingdom. And the way he uses us in that work will have eternal outcomes. There's a freedom for us because we know there's a possibility some things we do will outlive us. Most of us will probably have children, and they'll have children, and so on. And some of us may be fortunate enough to be published authors or musicians with music released that people still enjoy a generation or two from now. Whatever the case may be, we can enjoy knowing that the way we spend our time might persist in that way, but we don't have to hang our hopes of eternal life on that remote possibility. We can create and produce things for the enjoyment of them, for the temporal use of them. We've thought about the abstract concept of how we spend our time, and we have some understanding of the economics behind it. Now let's ask the question, how do we actually spend our time? I can't give exhaustive answers to that, and it'll be different for everyone, but I can give you four recommendations for sure. We should spend our time in worship. Definitely, without a doubt, and with no exceptions, we are with a local church on Sunday mornings. We should partake of the Lord's Supper and sit under a good biblical sermon. I think this should be supplemented with personal relationships with people in the church. Encourage one another, help one another. Can't go wrong with time spent that way. This kind of goes without saying, but family. I'm going to make a brave and unpopular stand here and say you should spend time with your family. If you don't have a family, just start one. It's easy. I'm joking, obviously, but maybe you don't have a family, and that should circle back to your relationship with your local church. That's your family. Another good way to spend our time is learning. I try to spend a lot of my time learning new things. I never feel my time was wasted when I spend it learning something new. With what little time you have left over after tending to your church family and learning new things, I encourage you to do something creative. I have a creative outlet here on the podcast, so I have the benefit of always spending time on a project, but you might not have that type of outlet. It doesn't have to be anything arduous. Keep a journal, draw something, find some garbage and make sculptures out of it like that guy on Family Ties used to do, whatever you decide to do. I hope, if nothing else, this caused us to think about how we spend our time. Maybe reassess how we spend it if necessary. Maybe even reinforce how you've already been spending your time. If you do need to reassess how you've been spending your time, this is the moment to do it. The clock is ticking. So I hope that's not too depressing a note to end this episode on. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, you can email me at nick@deathofdeathpodcast.com. We're on all the social media sites, the main three anyways. It's always Death of Death Pod on Twitter and Instagram. If you would like to join the elect and support the show for just $4 a month and get a lot of benefits, including an exclusive podcast that they only get to listen to, you can go to patreon.com/deathofdeath and sign up there. I just want to thank everyone for listening and taking the time to... Again, the time you chose to allocate some time to this podcast. So I hope that the value you received was worth the time that you spent on it. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that your time is valuable. And if you are as committed to proclaiming the victory of Christ, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.